This morning we are looking at the prophecy that you just sang about, Isaiah chapter 11. So I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to look at what this shoot from the stump of Jesse means for us today. Isaiah 11, we're actually going to begin reading right at the end of chapter 10, verse 33. But before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, it's our prayer that You will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of Your mighty strength which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him in Your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, beginning with verse 33, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the Majestic One. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Paphos, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulders of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongues of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, if you have ever walked through a forest after it's been logged or chopped down, or even after a forest fire, then you know the feeling that you experience standing there among the stumps and what's left. The silence, the emptiness, the sight of stumps where mighty trees once stood. What used to be strong and living and towering, full of life, has been reduced to just a barren reminder of what used to be. And that picture gives us the image that Isaiah is going for in our passage this morning. A landscape that looks more like a graveyard than a forest. Last week we looked at how King Ahaz, instead of trusting the Lord, he turned to the enemy, he turned to the Assyrians for help. And the result was devastating. The people of God became servants or vassals to the Assyrians. And the land was spiritually and politically stripped bare. If you have your Bibles open, chapter 10 in Isaiah describes the Assyrian army like the forest of Lebanon. So here you have the Assyrian army like this mighty forest, massive, towering, unstoppable. And yet, by the time you get to the end of chapter 10, that forest of Lebanon, the Assyrian army, is completely chopped down. The entire forest chopped down by the axe of the Lord. And that brings us to chapter 11, where we begin the chapter by staring at another stump. This stump has been around for quite a few years. It's not the stump of Assyria, it's the stump of Jesse. The royal family tree of David, the tree that God himself promised would stand forever, the line of David, the throne of David would always have a king on it, has been cut down. All the kings are gone. The kingdom is finished and the land is ruined and everything looks dead. But as you're staring at this stump, all of a sudden you see that it's sprouting. It's growing. Because in the middle of all of this devastation, out of this old stump, something green appears, a shoot, a sprout. The sign of life when everything else around this stump screams death. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Now this is the hope that we celebrate this Advent season. The hope of God's people. When everything else looks cut down, burnt up, destroyed, dead, there is hope of life. When judgment and brokenness seem to have the final word, God causes life to spring up. The story of redemption doesn't end in this field of trees that are chopped down, in this field of stumps, because one of the stumps is growing. And that shoot is Christ. Out of death, God brings life. Out of judgment, he brings salvation. Out of what looks hopeless, he brings the fulfillment of every one of his promises in Jesus. And that's the theme as we look at Isaiah 11 this morning, that out of death, out of this dead stump of Jesse, there is this promise of life, this shoot, this growth, this branch that'll produce fruit. And because of that, because in the face of death, there is life. We can hold on to God's promises by faith. So who is this shoot from the stump of David? This is the first, it's actually the stump of Jesse. Who is this? That's our first point this morning. Who is this shoot from the stump of Jesse? The picture, as I mentioned, that we're given here is of this old stump. And by the time we get to Christ, this stump has been there for 600 some years. So imagine this 600-year-old stump that's starting to grow, that's starting to sprout. There's still life, there's still hope. So we start chapter 11 with this stump in front of us, which from all outward appearances is dead. It represents not only the line of the kings of Israel, but also God's people themselves who have been hauled away. The kingdom has been chopped down, the kings have been removed from their throne, and they have been long gone. And so as you're looking at this stump from the roots of Jesse and see it growing, you ask, well, what's going on here? What happened here? How do we get to this point? Well, as we looked at yesterday, God used Assyria, the superpower, everybody's enemy, to punish his people. To punish them because of their sin. Ahaz had asked Assyria for help, and God gave Ahaz what he wanted, and he gave him the Assyrian army. And they ended up staying in the land. Isaiah prophesied, the people say the Lord is king with their lips, but their hearts were far from him and their sacrifices were just superficial, going through the motions. In chapter 6, Isaiah tells us to bring a message of destruction to God's people. Isaiah was the prophet bringing this warning about the exile, about getting kicked out of the land because of the sin. The people are rebellious, sinful, defying God's instructions. 2 Kings 18 verse 12, the reason for this defeat and exile is because Israel did not obey the voice of the Lord. They transgressed his covenant. They didn't listen. They didn't obey. And that sin separates us from God. Sin kills us. And Isaiah describes the punishment. They will hear, but they're not going to understand. They're going to see, but not perceive, not get it. Because if they could understand, and they could, if they could truly see, then they would turn away from their sin and be healed. And so the picture that Isaiah presents is one of increased tragedy. This will happen until the cities lie in ruin, abandoned, destroyed, no one living. Their houses are deserted, fields are ruined and ravaged. Lord sends everyone away, the land is utterly forsaken. Isaiah 6 verse 13, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. So describing God's people, describing the line of the kings as just this stump. Just like the oak trees leave a stump when you chop them down, in the same way, that's what this holy seed is going to be. Just a stump in the land. The only thing left of the line of David after God's judgment, after his punishment here, is this stump. You have the entire line of kings chopped down and hauled away because of their disobedience. You have an entire people carried off into exile, ruined, uninhabited, deserted, ravaged, forsaken, laid waste, cut down. And that's the scene that we begin with. How bad is this situation? It's so bad that it's not the stump of David that we're talking about. It's the stump of Jesse. David's family tree, the line of all of the kings, was so thoroughly cut down. It's chopped down so close to the ground that it's only the roots left. Jesse, David's dad. Hundreds of years of kings are gone, an entire nation exiled. The devastation, the destruction would be massive. And as you're standing, it's almost like a battlefield, but it's just this clear-cut forest. As you're standing there and looking at the devastation, the question that you should be asking, well, how could God possibly restore this people to himself? How could God possibly work this situation for good? And that's when you see that little sprout growing. That little shoot that's growing up from the stump of Jesse. You see life. There's some green there. There's hope. Now, describing the royal line of David as a stump is an accurate description or a metaphor for the situation of David's line when Jesus was born. I mean, if you think about it, even though there was still a house and line of David in existence, as we hear from Luke 2, someone from David's family line hasn't been on the throne for around 600 years. Now imagine you get some kind of genealogy.com Christmas present and you look back into your family history and you realize that 600 years ago you had a family member who was a king or royalty. Does that change anything now? Not really. I mean, you can maybe bragging rights among your friends. Yeah, I've come from a royal line, but that's the situation that Christ is born into. This tree has been chopped down. It's 600 years of wandering. I mean, 600 years from now is before the Reformation. This would be someone who is in the Dark Ages connected to you today. And that's what Isaiah is prophesying into. The tree has been chopped down, but the promise is still there. There will be a king on this royal line. And we know that God always keeps his promises. That dead stump is growing. Jesus was born. And that proves that God keeps his word, that he keeps his promises. Even though it looks like a dead stump, it's sprouting. There's still life there. Now what is the significance of this shoot for us? If you look at verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So anointed with the Spirit, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Verse 3, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So Jesus judges not by looks, way things appear, or even by what he hears, but with righteousness and a perfect justice. His rule is going to fix the wrongs that we often live with or are forced to accept. Injustices that frustrate us with no solution, they're going to be corrected in Christ. The little people, the poor, the meek, those who are overlooked and undervalued, those who are used and abused are finally going to receive the justice that they long for. But even more than justice and righteousness here and now, in this moment, is Christ as the ultimate righteousness and the ultimate judge when he comes. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, we're told, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Isaiah means that Jesus is righteousness and faithful, just, true to himself. Christ is clothed with righteousness and faithfulness. And this is the answer to the debt that we see. Christ is the answer to the pain and the brokenness and the sin of our lives. And the question for us at this point, as Isaiah is preaching to us, is do you trust him? Do you trust Christ? Now that's a hard question. You might say yes because that's the right answer to the question, but do you really trust him? How do your actions and the way you live answer that question? And if we hold back, what we're saying is that, I trust myself more than I trust Christ, or we trust others more than we trust Christ. Maybe it's something like Ahaz trusting and turning to the Assyrians more than he trusts in the Lord. And this is our greatest sin. To think and to act as our own saviors. And when we start to trust him more than we trust ourselves, we're beginning to understand what it means to trust him at all. The question that Isaiah is asking us and wants us to think through is, where do you get your security and your confidence from? Basically, what is your only comfort in life and in death? God wants you to know what it means to lean on him in truth. A practical faith in Him alone, because that is your salvation. Here's what you need to understand today as we look at this passage. The surety, the confidence of the past prophecies, and specifically how Jesus fulfills them, is also your hope today for the future. The way that God has kept His promise, kept His word in the past with this 600-year-old stump through Jesus Christ is your confidence for the future as well, because God is still working out His plan. He's not going to stop until all of these prophecies are fully realized in the lives of each of His children. And as God's children, by faith, you are part of this story. These promises that He's keeping. There is a shoot from the stump of Jesse, but it's not just a shoot that's growing. This shoot, it's going to bear fruit. And that's our second point and the second question we're asking today is, what is the fruit produced by this shoot? How does God restore His people? How does He remove their impurities, we could ask, so that they're called righteous and faithful? He accomplished this act of redemption and salvation through this shoot of Jesus, the branch of Jesus Christ. Now at the beginning of Isaiah, we hear the prophecies of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace. Peace will only come by the one who springs up from the roots of Jesse. So here, this little shoot that's growing is weighed with this peace that we are anticipating and longing for. You're not going to find this true peace anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. You're not going to find true peace and satisfaction, true comfort in the stuff you buy, or in the vacations you take, or in the relationships you have, or in the pills you take, or the people you talk to. Christ is the answer, the peace for our restless and our anxious hearts. He is what we are ultimately longing for. And the second half of Isaiah explains what it takes for there to be peace between us and God. What it takes for this Messiah to bring about this peace shows that our suffering because of sin is turned into peace because the Prince of Peace has suffered for our sin. Once again, we've got that theme of life out of death. Look at Isaiah 53, for example. For He grew up before Him like a young plant. There we have that imagery again. We go from Isaiah 11, this young shoot out of this stump, to this young plant, like a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53. But He was pierced for our transgressions, we read in that chapter. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. So what is the shoot out of Jesse's root? What does it mean for you? It means peace. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the fruit. It's peace. Isaiah experienced the tension here between what God had promised on the one hand, restoration and cleansing, and that is in contrast to what he sees, destruction, a dead stump, a line that's been cut down. And that's the tension that they waited for as they waited for the Messiah, the King who would bring peace to be born. What God said, what He had promised, the promise of life, the promise of peace. And at this point, when it comes to the fulfillment of that promise, all I see is a stump. And in the same way today, we experience that tension as well. The shoot of Jesse has already come and grown, but even though Christ has come, we still don't experience the full fruit of that branch, peace on earth, justice and righteousness. We're looking forward to His return. And so in a similar way to Isaiah, we right now are in a time of waiting and anticipation and longing. In a time between what's already happened, what's already taken place, and what's still going to take place. We're not just 600 years later, we're a couple thousand years later. We know that Christ has conquered sin already, yet we still struggle with sin every day. Death has been defeated, but we still face this reality of sin until Christ returns. We know that Christ is victorious, that He's ruling on the throne. But when we watch the news and there's another shooting, it sure doesn't feel like it. We are told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but at times that's the last thing that we experience in our troubled and our anxious hearts. And so there's that tension between the already and the promises and the not yet, the fulfillment of those promises. A tension between what God says and what we see and what we experience right now, what's right in front of our face. And that's when we hold on all the tighter to God's promises by faith, because we know that there is life in the face of death because of Christ. I look at the movement of our passage here. The movement or the progression is from warfare and destruction, the Assyrians attacking, being lopped off, the trees being chopped down, to an image of new growth and peace and tranquility and fruit being produced by this shoot from the stump of Jesse. By the time we get to verses 6 through 9, we're given a picture of the peace that is coming, a picture of the end, the final consummation, the fruit of Christ's reign. You have the wolf and the lamb living together. The leopard is lying down with the young goat. You have the calf and the lion, the fattened calf together, with a little child leaning on them. Cow and the bear grazing together. The young shall lie together with the lion, and the lion's eating straw like the ox. And we're given a picture of what this peace of Christ is going to look like. It's almost like a movie trailer where you're given just a little snippet of what the movie's going to be about. Here in Isaiah's prophecy, we're given just a glimpse of what this coming peace in Jesus is going to be like. A taste of what God is accomplishing through Christ. And it gets you excited. I'm not battling with sin and struggling with suffering all alone. This isn't the way it's always going to be. The Messiah, the shoot of Jesse, has come, and He's not going to quit until sin and suffering is no more. And even now, the fullness of Christ's kingdom is right in front of us. The only thing standing between this present moment and what Isaiah is prophesying is a word from the Father. All you have to do is say the word, and Christ will come and judge and save and rule, because He's our peace. And that's how this root of Jesse, third and finally, is a sign for all the peoples. How is this root of Jesse a signal for all the peoples? Verses 10 through 16. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all the peoples, of Him shall the nations inquire, and His resting place shall be glorious. So here you have the root from a stump has grown into a tree. Life has sprung up and grown from the apparently dead stump. God has kept His promise. And that sprout growing from the root of Jesse is going to be a signal for all the people. John 12, Jesus explains, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to Myself." So what began at the beginning of our passage with destruction and judgment and cutting down ends with Christ, not only as the sacrifice, being the one who was judged and cut down, His death, "This is My body, this is My blood for the complete forgiveness of your sins," but also Christ is the one who was lifted up and exalted, the peace that He has accomplished, life, the gathering of all the people in, bringing in the nations, bringing us to His resting place, bringing us to His peace, His glory. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the branch from His roots shall bear fruit." And the beautiful news of the gospel is that Jesus doesn't leave us in a tragic and desperate state. I mean, He could have, but He doesn't. He doesn't leave us as stumps, but rather he chooses to respond in another way, not because of what he saw in us, but because of what was in him. There is life in the face of death, and that's why we hold on to God's promises in faith. Because God always keeps his promises. Jesus came because we are broken, and we can't fix ourselves, but he can. Now the places that are mentioned in verse 11 there, show the worldwide coverage of this good news of peace. You have from far south in Cush to far east, the far east in Elam, the far north in Assyria, far west when it comes to the coastlands of the sea. And the phrase, the four corners of the earth in verse 12 expressed that same idea. There's no part of the earth that's too far away for God's hands to reach, for the good news of peace, the good news of the gospel, to reach out, the good news of this stump of Jesse, the sprout that's growing from the stump of Jesse. I mean, you can think of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 15 here, there is nothing that can keep God's people from coming to him. No effective barrier to the return of God's people from the south, the Gulf, the Egyptian Sea, the Red Sea, or the north, the Euphrates River. We're reminded of Exodus when Isaiah mentions these bodies of water and the wind drying them up and people walking through in sandals. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can hold us back. God would not leave his world in this evil, scarred condition of brokenness. He didn't leave us lost and in our sin or in hopeless bondage to the rebellion of our own evil lives. And that's why we have hope right now. There's hope in the face of death, and we hold on to God's promises by faith. The certainty of these past prophecies, and specifically how Jesus fulfills them, points us forward to the promises that we're still waiting to be fulfilled. Christ's return. The fullness of our salvation realized. Christ was born, he lived and died, and we know he is coming again. And God is still working out his plan. He's not going to stop until these prophecies are fully realized in the lives of each one of his children. Fully realized, fully accomplished in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for the shoot that grew up from the stump of Jesse. Thanking you for Christ and the fruit of peace that he has brought, that he has bore. And the peace that we can experience because by faith we are in Christ. Lord, I pray that we will experience a peace that comes from you, a peace that's beyond understanding, a peace that is ours in Christ. As we wait, as we anticipate, as we long for the day when Christ returns and finishes what he started. Lord, please bless us. Help us to not only love the gospel, but to live out the gospel, to share the gospel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.